Lectionary, and then we'll move on in Lent. Sure. This morning, I want to talk about good news and secrets. Have you ever had good news that you really should share freely, that would really benefit others, but you selfishly keep it to yourself? Have you ever had news like that? You know you should tell people, but you kind of keep it to yourself selfishly. Like somehow someone else doing well would be a deterrent to your own wellness. Or like someone else doing worse would actually be better for you. It's insane to think about, and yet things probably come to mind where you haven't shared something that you probably ought to have shared. Or have you ever had good news that is simply something good in your life and meaningful to you, and nothing would be gained by you passing along this information to everyone else you encounter? It's just something nice in your own life. It's not something that necessarily needs to be shared far and wide, but you just can't help but boast about that good thing in your life. For anyone? I have one claim to fame in my life. I'm friends with one famous person in my life. I performed her wedding, and it's kind of my one claim to fame. She's a great friend, and we connect from time to time, and when we're in the same city, we get together and we hang out a little bit, it's kind of my one claim to fame. It's just good. It's just this fun, good relationship. And yet for some reason I find myself dropping that into conversation every once in a while for no good reason. Like, it doesn't help the conversation. It's just a name-dropping thing, right? It doesn't help anyone. I'm just boasting to make myself look cool. And look, I just did it here in this sermon, right? Yeah, I'm doing it right now. I didn't tell the name on purpose so that I wasn't name-dropping too much. But now I want you to ask me later so that I can name-drop. We do this, right? We drop these things subtly into conversation where it's just a good blessing, some good news in our life, and it doesn't necessarily help anyone, but we just need to boast about that so that everyone knows that we're doing pretty well for myself. My kids do this all the time, and your kids probably do as well, where one of them gets to do something fun, but the other one doesn't. I took Peyton to the Children's Museum the other day, and Zoe didn't get to go because she was in school. And Peyton just had to tell Zoe when we got home, I got to go to the Children's Museum, right? She had to drop that in. She couldn't just keep it to herself. They just couldn't help share that tidbit with each other and then bring forth this onslaught of tears, right? We want to rub it in. It's kind of the way it goes. So, like I said, we're going to talk about good news and secrets this morning. To do so, I want to briefly tackle a short passage in 1 Corinthians. So that's where we're going to head here in just a moment. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. It's a passage about having good news, and then what do we do with that? What do we do when we have good news? But this passage is a bit convoluted, so maybe it would help. I don't know, maybe this is going to make it worse. But maybe it would help if I began with a hypothetical scenario, a sort of parable, to get us thinking about this theme. All right, so I want you to imagine with me for a moment. Imagine that you're the owner and landlord of an apartment building, and you live in the building that you own. You have one of the apartments in the building, but you're the owner. You know the details of this building because you run it. You're in charge. And one day you smell smoke, and you see flames, and they're engulfing the entire building. This building that you own and that you live in, and the flames are growing bigger and stronger by the moment. And all of the normal exits are blocked. The stairwells are on fire, the elevator is down and out of commission, and every normal exit to the building is blocked by fire. All right, you kind of got this in your mind. But because you are the owner and you know the particularities of the building, you kind of know those special little nooks and crannies. And you happen to know that there's this one kind of special hidden exit that you can get to because you know it, and probably no one else does. So you're meandering your way through the building, and you're finding your way to safety through the secret exit, and suddenly you're standing outside the building, and you're safe from all harm. And you're standing there, you're celebrating your safety because of the good news that you knew about. You knew about this exit, and now you're safe outside. Meanwhile, your tenants are stuck inside, in danger, and you didn't tell them about it. It makes you a jerk, right? It makes you an awful human being, correct? Now imagine you're outside, and you realize that people are still in there. And maybe you have a turn of heart here. And you call 911, and you tell them all of this, that all the normal exits are blocked, but there is this one special exit that you knew about, and you found your way out to safety. And they basically tell you, you have to go tell them. You have to rush back in there and save all these people. You're basically obligated to go back in and tell everyone how to get out. And you are actually mad that you have to do that. I'm not risking life and limb for that. You're actually mad. And yet you finally listen and you go back in, but you're just grumbling the whole time. You're grumbling the whole way, angry about not just staying comfortable and safe outside. In that scenario, you're still a jerk, right? Right? You're still a horrible person in this, and I am too. Or finally, imagine that you know about this secret exit from the very beginning, and you do tell everyone about it. From the very beginning, everything's blocked, but you know about this exit. Hey, everyone, come along. I know this special way to get out. And you all get out to safety outside. But once you're outside, you immediately start bragging about how awesome it is that you knew about the secret exit and that you saved everyone. Look what I did for you guys. Saved you. I'm kind of a hero, right? Even though you didn't actually do anything heroic, you just knew the blueprint of the building, right? You're just boasting about something that no one should actually boast about. Still a jerk, right? All these scenarios have us looking pretty badly. All right, so it's all make-believe. It's all hypothetical. But I think it kind of sets us up for our passage this morning. So this is 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Starting with verse 16. For when I preach the gospel, I cannot boast, since I am compelled to preach. Woe, and this is Paul speaking, I'll remind you. When I preach the gospel, I cannot boast, since I am compelled to preach. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. If I preach voluntarily, I have a reward. If not voluntarily, I am simply discharging the trust committed to me. What then is my reward? Just this, that in preaching the gospel I may offer it free of charge and so not make full use of my rights as a preacher of the gospel. Right? Convoluted? Okay, 19. Though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I am myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all people, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do this all for the sake of the gospel, so I may share in its blessings. Tongue twister there. All right, so let's walk a little bit slowly through this verse for a few moments, starting with verse 16. Paul starts out, when I preach the gospel, or the NRSV says, if I proclaim the gospel. He's saying that when I have the good news of Jesus, and am actually willing to share that with others. I know the good news, I know the gospel, and I'm actually willing to preach or to proclaim that. I cannot boast, or the NRSV says, I have no ground for boasting. When I have the good news and I'm willing to share it, I can't boast. I have no ground for boasting. I didn't do anything to earn this news. It didn't take me being a rocket scientist to understand it. I just got the good news. I just inherited it. It was freely given to me. So if I'm choosing to pass that good news along to others, how dare I try to prop myself up or make myself feel better, or pride myself on retelling this news that has nothing to do with my own accomplishments or goodness anyway. Why would I boast about this? Because I'm compelled to preach anyway. I'm obligated to preach anyway. Really, I shouldn't even see this good news sharing as optional. Because, as Paul says, I am compelled to preach, or an obligation is laid on me. When we know good news that is this good, how dare we not share it? When we have been graced with the good news of Jesus, that is so good, that is so beautiful, that is so wise and profound and salvific in our life, how dare we not share it? Or again, from Paul, woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. Woe to me. I don't need to brag or prop myself up. The gospel has nothing to do with pride. Because if I'm sharing this good news of Jesus for the right reasons, then that will be reward enough. I won't need recognition or appreciation or validation. I will simply feel rewarded in the fact that someone else now has some small grasp of the goodness and vastness of God's love and mercy. That should be reward enough, and I should feel compelled. I should feel obligated because this good news is too important, too good to keep to myself. And if I don't want to share this good news with others, essentially, Paul is saying, tough. You have to. The news is too good. The news is too significant. The news is too dire, in a good way. We need it too badly. That if you don't want to share it, tough. You have to. That's part of receiving it. It's not optional. Paul reminds us that God has entrusted this good news to us. He has commissioned us, tasked us with sharing this good news, and to not do so is to miss the point of grace entirely. To receive and not to pass along is to miss the point entirely. We haven't understood then if that's what we do. And Paul understood the unoptional nature of proclaiming the good news of Jesus. He fully grasped the compelling quality of the gospel. He got it. And that's why he concludes this section, this passage, with this really convoluted language about becoming all things to all people. He's describing himself as being sold out as he's proclaiming this good news. He abandons his freedom. He's completely dedicated to this good news. He's willing to do anything to get this beautiful message out to the world. He'll become anything to anyone. He'll speak in whatever way necessary to get this good news to the masses, because it is that important. To see people saved by the grace of God is so important that he will do whatever he needs to do to get that message out, because it is that incredible of news. The grace of God, the fact that the God of the universe sent his Son to humanity in order to save humanity, is the greatest secret of the universe. We're sitting on this massive secret that is so incredible. And to know this secret, to understand this truth, and to not share it openly, fervently, courageously, is simply unacceptable. And I'm preaching to myself more than any of you. I promise you I am. To know this secret, to understand this great truth of the universe, that God has sent his Son into this place in order to save it all and redeem all things to himself, and to not pass that along to others is simply unacceptable. Having good news, having the gospel, knowing the good news of Jesus Christ is no reason to either boast or to sit idly by. The grace of God is neither to brag about nor to be silent about. That's, frankly, selfish and mean. That's knowing about the secret exit and not telling anyone about it. That's terribly unloving and certainly not in keeping with the life and way that the gospel invites us to live and follow. And that actually demonstrates that we haven't fully grasped the good news of Jesus. If we aren't willing and ready and excited to tell anyone and everyone about mercy, forgiveness, and love that we have experienced in and through our relationship with God, then I don't think that we've quite grasped the gospel yet. I don't think that we've understood grace yet. If I'm not willing to tell everyone that I encounter about how good the grace of God is, then I don't think I've understood the grace of God. And yet that happens all the time. I do it all the time. I think about the theology of my youth, kind of the church culture that I grew up in, a little bit too conservative, a little bit too fundamentalist for my taste. But I kind of think back on the theology that I grew up with. And there's this way of thinking about God that has a pretty vast misunderstanding of the overwhelming greatness and abundance of God's grace. And the result of that way of thinking is kind of a zero-sum view of salvation. In order for some to be in, then some need to be out. In order for me to be in, I need to find some other people who don't get to be in order to kind of justify my inness. It's a way of thinking about God's grace that actually goes looking for groups and thoughts to scapegoat. I have seen it, and I have done it, where I'm not all that interested in everyone coming to know the good news that I've come to know, because I actually want to justify my inness by finding someone else that is out. I've done it. You go looking for those who are out so that you can justify your inness. And the ultimate result, and I've felt it within me at times in my life, is a selfish reluctance to share salvation. Where people can only get saved if they believe and act just like me. If you're any bit different, you're out. Then God surely can't save you. And most people in that system are just written off from the very beginning. It creates this pridefulness about our inness. I've actually been in a conversation with someone once where I asked them something to the effect of, "Do you really even want everyone to go to heaven?" And in the context of that conversation, their answer was no. And I think it was kind of this earth-shattering moment for both of us where we were kind of realizing the error of our ways. But in the context, the answer was, you know, I don't think so. Because then that messes with my own inness. It messes with my idea of God's grace. They didn't want to share the good news. They didn't want to grant everyone access to God's grace because it felt like it threatened their own access to God's grace. I have seen it. My temptation, the thing I struggle with most, is that I don't always hope and pray the best for other pastors and other churches. There are times where my jealousy and insecurity kicks in, where I find myself incorrectly and sinfully believing that someone else's gain is my loss, that another pastor's success means my failure. That is messed up. And yet that seeps in. That seeps into my way of thinking. Why can't I always just want the best for everyone, for all of God's church? Why would I ever want to hoard God's grace and keep it from anyone? We are sitting on a winning lottery ticket here. We are sitting on the good news of Jesus, this kind of winning lottery ticket. And when we go to cash it in and receive the bounty of its goodness, we find out that these winning numbers can actually be shared. That actually everyone can use these numbers. There's no limit to who can claim the rewards of this winning ticket. And yet I too often selfishly hoard my good news or boastfully celebrate my fortune with no intention of sharing it. And it's kind of crazy. And it means I haven't understood God's grace and how good it is. So I want to end this morning simply by reminding you of the good news of Jesus. And by reminding you that our calling is to remind others of this amazing news. We have the most incredible secret that has ever existed, and yet I don't think we understand it as well as we could. The God of the universe created you. The God who fashioned everything that you see around us, the God who put the cosmos together in his own design and his own creativity, actually created us and loves us and desperately wants to be with us and near us and in relationship with us. That is just insane. I don't know why he did that. It makes no sense. The God of the universe created you, loves you, desperately wants to be with you and near you and in relationship with you. And when all that got disrupted and things went haywire, that God chose to send his Son to perform an unspeakably gracious act of kindness and love. One that I can't believe he was willing to do. I can't believe that Jesus went to the cross on our behalf. Jesus came to rescue us, to save us, and to put things back together, and to restore all things to their rightful order, to include us and our messiness, to fix all things. And there is nothing we have done or could do to ever earn that kindness, and yet it is lavished upon us with unending mercy. That makes no sense. There is nothing that we have done or could do to ever earn that kindness, and yet it is lavished upon us with unending mercy. We have this incredible news, the best news that has ever existed. We have been graced with the goodness, forgiveness, and love of God, but it's not a secret, and it shouldn't be treated that way. So let's not be prideful and boastful about our salvation. Let's not think ourselves better than other people because of what Jesus has done for us. But let's not be silent about this amazing news either. We have an obligation, a commission to tell people of this incredible news. When the news is this great, there's no keeping secrets. Let's pray. God, I'm kind of caught up in this moment with your goodness, and I pray that we all are, and I pray that we would be throughout each and every day of our lives. But I'm so grateful for who you are and what you've done and how you want to be in community with us. Your love is incredible. Your grace is astounding. Your forgiveness is unimaginable. And so we thank you for that. We thank you for your grace that you have poured out upon us. And I pray that you would give us the courage to share that good news freely and openly with all we encounter. Help us to be people who are passionate about telling the secret openly and honestly with everyone we cross paths with. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.